Greetings, my little oddities. Welcome to Odd Tuesdays. This is Monica Caraway from Small Biz Thoughts. Today, Carl talks to social analyst Peter Kadek about the highly successful lead generation his company does for MSPs. We are also joined by Rayanne Buccianico in our Oddball segment, and I'll be sharing some tech news brought to you by neowin.net. First up, upcoming tech events happening around the place. A Global Technology Distribution Council event is on in Miami, February 19th. Go to gtdc.org/events for more information. The IBM Interconnect 2015 is on in Las Vegas, February 22nd to the 26th. More information can be found at ibm.com. The Globalization of SMB webinar series continues with another event on February 24th. You can register for free at bit.ly/globalSMB. The SMB Nation Office 365 tour is on February 26th in Los Angeles, California. Go to o365tour.smbnation.com for the details. Coming up in March, an Exchange Solutions Provider event is on in Dallas, Texas, March 1st to the 3rd. Go to exchange-events.com for details. A Channel Pro SMB Forum is being held in Baltimore, March 3rd. Carl will be one of the presenters at the event. To register, visit events.channelpronetwork.com. There is an Ingram Micro Cloud Summit on in Phoenix, March 8th through the 10th. Visit ingrammicrocloudsummit.com for more information. The Wearables Tech Con is on in Santa Clara, March 9th through the 11th. And it looks pretty cool, so if anyone wants to take me, reach out. More information can be found about the conference at wearablestechcon.com. The Channel Partners Conference and Expo is on March 16th to the 18th in Las Vegas. Details can be found at channelpartnersconference.com. And the HP Global Partner Conference is on March 16th to the 19th, also in Vegas. Visit bit.ly/HP Global for the details. You can find the full listing of MSP and tech events happening in Carl's weekly newsletter. Just visit carlsnews.com to sign up. And now let's hand off to Carl and Peter Kadek.
I'm joined now by Peter Kadek, who is from Sales Ammo, and they have a tool called salesammo.co. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, we heard about Peter's company because we were at an event in Sydney, Australia, and one of your customers there, Nicholas, was talking to us at the bar and saying that he got so many leads from you, he literally couldn't schedule all of the appointments. He couldn't make them all because he had to run his business, and he was talking about, and he may have already, of getting rid of the person he had getting leads for him and just relying on your business. So that is quite an endorsement.
Yeah, I've got to say, Nick is a good customer of ours, and we pioneered a lot of the system and features with him. So he was at the business at the very beginning. So we're very lucky to have him as an evangelist of what we do. But yeah, he definitely got some great value out of it, yeah.
Well, he certainly is, and there's nothing better for building your business than raving fans. So he's a raving fan. So why don't you tell the folks a little bit about, you know, what it is exactly that you do, because, you know, nerds tend to be very shy about picking up the phone and saying, hi, can I come sit with you and show you my business and what we do?
I'll start with a story about how we got to where we are. 2 years ago, we set up a business with an aim to disrupt and develop social media technology and systems. This is my second round. I've had a franchise F&B sort of cafe franchise model system that I built before over 3 years. So we were like any other startup. We were looking for leads. We had a product. We were still finding our feet, working out where our market fit was. But we needed new business. And we basically did everything that a normal, you know, startup or, you know, business does. We looked at advertising, you know, media. We looked at some Facebook advertising. We looked at even ringing people out of the newspaper. And we found that different avenues had limited or some success, but nothing really stuck. Nothing really got us a pipeline of leads quickly, which is what we needed because we were trying to stay afloat at the time. We were, you know, going month to month like you do, trying to keep your head above water. So nothing was working. So I'm lucky enough that my co-founder is 22 years old, and he is a techie, but he's more of an entrepreneur than a tech guy. And you know, we embraced LinkedIn, and basically through another friend of mine who's actually a LinkedIn consultant, who gave me a bit of help in the early days, and he's been doing it for a while. We just started looking at LinkedIn and Facebook and going, okay, how do we actually make this work for us? And the raw honest truth, it took us 3 months to get our heads around, first of all, what LinkedIn actually is and how it works, because it was a little bit complicated to start with. Once we got our act together and understood how it worked, we just did a bit of trial and error, and with the premise of, okay, how do we build our networks up and look at expanding our reach and connecting with people that we know through other people and just generating some leads. And in the end, what happened was we got really, really strong results. We were having a lot of success reaching out to people. A lot of people were getting back to us. And myself particularly was able to draw, you know, quite a big pipeline reasonably quickly, which then gave us deals and business, which then fueled our growth even more. So Nick was one of the first sort of round of customers we had, and I just reached out to him. I knew somebody he knew. We had a little chat. We had a chat on the phone. He got back to me, all via LinkedIn. He got back to me, and then I realized, hey, this really works, and it's adding value for him, and it's adding value for me. So on the back of that, we basically built a service with popular demand. We realized there's other businesses out there who are looking for leads, and we thought this is a network, so that's how we did it. So that's the background. So it's quite an organic story. You know, we didn't dream it up one day in a bar and spend three weeks on a whiteboard to then come up with a plan. We just started like the good old fashioned way of trying stuff and seeing what works, and just using my team, which is a young team, so they get integrations and they get the way social media works probably better than I could have, because I'm old, I'm 30 now, so I'm past social media.
So tell us a bit about, so what exactly do you do? Because I'm on LinkedIn and everybody I know is on LinkedIn, but I'm not getting people calling me up because I'm on LinkedIn. Do you try to connect with new people? Do you, like, how would you find me, you know, appointments for 10 more managed service clients?
So first of all, what we do is we build a strong profiling of who your customer is for you, based on what your business needs are and who your existing customers are. Once we've got a really strong profile of actually who you're trying to contact, and by the way, a lot of people tend to not be quite stringent on that process, hence why they don't maybe get the results up front. So we've got a lot of IP and intelligence and sort of experience in actually profiling who is your best customer. Once we've done that, we then look at how we can best connect you and get you in front of or give you the rich data so you can actually contact yourself, if you like, the people who are actually your customers. There is a hell of a lot of people out there who are just an arm's length away. And the basic, you know, value proposition of what we do is we connect you to those people who are your customers, but you're not going to connect with yourself because, one, you're too time poor, two, you've got too much stuff to do, and three, you can't sit on LinkedIn all day. That's just the reality. You cannot sit on LinkedIn all day. If you do, you'll go out of business. So that's why we're here, and that's our reason for being. We believe that LinkedIn is a trusted network, so it's about leveraging a network. But we're a service to assist people to do the things that they want to do, but they just can't do. And then we throw all of our, you know, added value of intelligence reporting and data and sort of matching and things like that, which just make the whole thing work quite well.
All righty. So do you have layers of services that you offer then? You could just do the connecting piece, or you could also do finding people and then setting up appointments. Is that right?
We've got three different plans. We've got it's funny because we're sales ammo. So, you know, we've got the pistol plan, the rifle plan, and the sales sniper plan. Now, you know, there was a bit of a debate in terms of is that too, you know, with the military, is it a bit, but our customers really liked it and said, no, you've got to do this because it makes sense for us. Just do that and we get it. So we had to do it in here.
And you know that goes over well in the United States, right? So.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, Australia is a bit more touchy over here in terms of that stuff, but it was by popular demand. That's my caveat, right?
Right.
People like so. So we've got different levels of plan depending on the service level, effectively, and also on the target. So typically, you know, there's certain people who you can target easier and are more open to a sales call or connecting or meeting or whatever, and there's certain people who are just harder. And typically, that's on the executive level. So, you know, the C-level executives and senior executives in major companies, you know, are very tight with their time and they're very tight with who they talk to, and there needs to be a value proposition put in front of them that makes sense, you know, and that's what we do, and we spend more time, effort, and energy and charge more accordingly for the harder and more elaborate, you know, ways to get in front of people. But effectively what we do is just, you know, leverage people's or existing networks and assist them to get business where they're just not going to do it themselves. And again, that's our reason for being.
And so you provide services anywhere. It doesn't have to be Australia, correct?
Yeah, we have got a global software provider company. And yeah, we operate currently over here in Australia and in the UK.
All right. And how can folks engage you on LinkedIn or otherwise?
They can come and reach out to me. I have got an open network. I'm a believer in open networks, so people can come and just connect with me and have a chat, and we can have a talk on LinkedIn or have a phone call or drop an email via the website, www.salesammo.co.
Very good. Now, do you have some kind of an offer that you want to put out to the folks out there?
Definitely. We are in the business of expanding our business, as you can imagine, so we usually charge a setup fee, a $189 setup fee for new businesses, and we're willing to waive that plus offer a 10% discount on the first month for people. So there's no setup fee, and that's to all your listeners. All they'd have to do is just drop me an email or a note or connect to me on LinkedIn and just mention that they heard the podcast, and yeah, I'll organize it for them right away.
Very good. And the email, we'll put it on the blog, but it's peterc@thesocialammo.com.
Yeah, or there's info@salesammo.co as well.
Salesammo.co. Very good. Well, thank you. Now, that comes with a warning, however, that you may be so inundated with appointments that you will have to stop the service temporarily while you catch up and actually meet with all of the clients that Peter has set up for you. So
that's our biggest problem. Because that's an issue.
So, well, I would love to hear that somebody engaged you and had twice that problem going forward. And, you know, I think that this is a great year as we come out of the recession and finally, you know, people are getting both of their feet flat on the ground, that I think that this is a great year for people to push their sales and push their marketing. And it'll be, I wouldn't say it easy, but it'll be certainly much more profitable than the last several years have been.
Many thanks. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Carl.
Very good. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Carl, and thanks for listening. Cheers.
And now for today's Oddball segment, we are joined by Rayanne Buccianico, who will share some specific tips on how to enter bartering transactions in QuickBooks.
Hello everyone, Ryan here from ABC Solutions in sunny Clearwater, Florida, bringing you this week's Oddball segment with a QuickBooks tip for you. Today I would like to talk about barter transactions. Often I hear MSPs mention the accounting firm they use is also a client. They sometimes trade services. Something like, I'll gladly prepare a tax return for you on Tuesday for a new router and switch today. So how does one track this transaction in their accounting system? Today's tip covers both QuickBooks Desktop and QuickBooks Online because the concept is the same. First, the problem. The accountant customer has an outstanding invoice that he has no intention of paying with money. Your company has a bill payable to the accountant for tax work, which you have no intention of paying with money. You agree to barter the service, meaning that you need to mark the customer invoice paid with the vendor bill without exchanging any money. Here's the solution. Step number one, create a new bank account in QuickBooks and call it barter. Step number two, record the customer payment as if the customer sent you a check. So you'll go into customers, receive payments, you'll record the payment for the invoice. Step number three, deposit the payment into the barter bank account under banking make deposits. Just choose the barter bank account as the deposit account for the customer payment instead of your normal operating account. Step number four, open the pay bill screen in the vendor menu and find the bill from your accounting firm. Pay the bill and change the bank account to the barter bank account. Or, if the bill was not entered, simply write a check to the accounting firm from the barter bank account to zero out the bank account. Under banking, open Write Checks window and change the bank account to the barter bank account. You want to be sure that the barter bank account balance is always at zero. The transactions should flow in and out at the same time. Don't try to keep a running barter balance with your customer vendors, or you'll end up going nuts. One final note, barter transactions are subject to reporting on forms 1099B. Yes, that's the same form you get when you sell stock. It is not reported on the 1099 miscellaneous like your typical outside services or subcontractors. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's segment on barter transactions for your MSP. As always, if you have a topic you would like covered in a future segment, feel free to contact me by visiting my website at abcsolutionsfl.com or join us now at thirdtier.net and let us help you check your books. Thank you for joining the Oddball segment this week. Until next time, this is Rayanne with ABC Solutions signing off.
And now for today's tech news brought to you by neowin.net. Sony has announced that its new augmented reality wearable device, the SEDE-1 Smart Eyeglass Developer Edition, is to go on sale at $840. The device will be generally available in the US, UK, Germany, and Japan from March 10th, and will go on sale to enterprise customers in France, Italy, Spain, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Sweden on the same date. In the UK and Germany, pre-orders for the glasses are now open. Those who thought Google Glass to be less stylish will surely have words to say about the much chunkier style of the Sony device. In addition to the enormous glasses themselves, there's also a puck-style control unit which remains physically plugged into the glasses at all times. That houses the battery, speaker, microphone, and touch sensor for navigation. Smart Eyeglass is designed to be connected to an Android 4.4 device. The glasses house a 3-megapixel camera that can capture pics and videos, but doing so will have a severe impact on the device's already limited battery life. Under normal conditions, you'll get up to 150 minutes of usage before the battery dies. If you're using the camera, be prepared to see that drop to just 80 minutes. The company also warns that ambient temperature, using Wi-Fi, and the type of smartphone you connect the device to may all drain the battery faster as well. Sony claims that the device offers true augmented reality, or AR, although the interface is presently entirely in green monochrome with 8-bit grayscaling. While the smart eyeglass may not exactly have mass market appeal, that was never Sony's intention with this release, but Sony will be hoping that its new glasses attract the attention of developers to help it build out a more complete AR platform and also to help it identify new usage scenarios for the device, both for consumers and business customers. Microsoft has made it clear that its platforms are open and fully support integration with third-party products. That message is being reinforced this month as the company has updated its iOS apps to allow third-party storage services to integrate into the iOS Office apps. The company is also announcing that Box, Salesforce, and Citrix ShareFile will now utilize Office for opening documents inside their storage services. For iOS, Microsoft has added the ability to open documents from inside the Office apps from third-party cloud storage services like Box. This is a feature that will help anyone who uses a cloud service other than OneDrive. While it may seem counterintuitive for Microsoft to support other service platforms, the company has made it clear that they want Office to be a versatile productivity suite. The company says this functionality will come to Android and Windows 10 users in the near future. These moves show Microsoft's efforts to make sure that Office is the pivot point for productivity, no matter the platform or the vendor. We should note that Google's suite of productivity tools are slowly moving into this space, so for Microsoft, this maneuver is likely a pushback against Google's efforts. The original vision behind the Apple Watch might have been curbed due to less than satisfactory performance and fear of opposition from regulatory bodies. Apple announced the Apple Watch last September, and Tim Cook recently revealed that the device would go on sale in April. However, after taking plenty of time, it seems Apple won't be able to deliver the product that it had initially envisioned. According to the latest report from the Wall Street Journal, the Apple Watch will not have all the features that were planned by Apple when it first started to work on the product. The report states that Apple has planned to include numerous sensors for making its wearable device the best for personal health tracking. However, the performance of the sensors failed to meet Apple's standards, and the results varied according to the tightness of the band and physical aspects of the wearer's wrist, such as hair density. It has also been revealed that the use of sensors like the stress and blood pressure sensors could have met with opposition from regulatory authorities, which Apple did not want, resulting in removal altogether. It is possible that some of the features that have been allegedly dropped might be released in the next iteration of the device, but we may never know what these missing features were. In a world dominated by smartphones, it looks like classic flip phones are still relevant, at least in Japan. According to a report from Reuters, Japanese shipments of traditional flip phones rose in 2014 for the first time after 7 years, while smartphone shipments took the opposite path. The telecommunication minister has stated that people in Japan pay one of the highest smartphone fees among developed countries, while flip phone rates account for the lowest. Additionally, there are reportedly many Japanese people already accustomed to years of deflation who are content with using flip phones, which offer essential services like calls, texts, emails, and basic internet access, which can be enough for many. Lastly, the Research Institute emphasized that with Japan's mobile penetration rate of 98.5%, mobile growth in Japan has little area for remarkable overall growth, with the researchers saying that flip phones had a strong renewal year for the device's subscription cycle, implying that the reported growth might not repeat this year. Intel's Skylake desktop processors could be delayed until August. With each new iteration of computing products, we generally see improvements in specifications and technology. This is possible thanks to new innovations being created by chip manufacturers. While there are several players in the CPU world, Intel is by far one of the largest and most recognized. Unfortunately, it looks like there could be a delay in Intel's next processor being dubbed internally as Skylake. According to DigiTimes, Intel has delayed the release of their latest chipset, codenamed Skylake. Although there is no major manufacturing issue with the chip, it is being reported that the cause of delay is to minimize the overlap of its current products out on the market. The new Skylake processor will debut at 14 nanometers, with a later revision that could shrink the size to 10 nanometers. The processor was originally scheduled to make its debut sometime in Q2 of 2015. The reported delay will be a couple months, with the sources only stating that it could come in August. Up to $1 billion has been stolen from 100 banks around the world by a group of international cyber criminals over a two-year period, according to the Russian computer security company Kaspersky Lab. The group, known as Carbonac, took the unusual approach of stealing directly from the banks instead of going through customers. Carefully crafted emails were used to trick employees into opening malicious software, which allowed access to the bank's internal networks and video surveillance. Kaspersky said the video surveillance was used to learn how the bank's processes worked, so the group could pass off their actions as legitimate processes and transactions. The group also remotely ordered ATMs to dispense cash at a time when a member would be waiting to collect the money. The director of Interpol Digital Crime Center said in a statement prepared by Kaspersky that these attacks again underline the fact that criminals will exploit any vulnerability in any system. The company said that it was working with Interpol, Europol, and authorities from different countries to try to uncover the group, who has members in Europe, Russia, Ukraine, and China. I'd like to thank NeoWin.net for today's tech news. Registrations have been flowing in to the upcoming SMB Online Conference, Time to Thrive 2015. This is Carl's fourth annual SMB Online Conference. This year's conference will focus on the processes, procedures, and products you need to be successful going forward. 13 speakers and 15 hours of business education are included during the 3 days. The first 50 people to register receive registration for all 3 days for just $99. That includes recordings of all the sessions and downloadable support material. Please visit SMB Online Conference to register and catch that $99 price tag. Join us in our next episode on March 3rd, where we will be joined by Kevin Royalty from Total Care Computer Consulting to discuss his recent feature in Channel Pro Magazine about MSPs partnering with peers. And one of our resident oddballs, Bob Nitrio, will join us in our oddball segment. I look forward to having you join us then. Take care.